ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
He goes to the Jews. Why? Because God is faithful. He's faithful to us. Why do we want him to be unfaithful to the Jews and just faithful to us? How do we know then if he is going to be faithful to us? We don't. He's totally faithful, as we saw. In fact, in Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90, we're told, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides." The faithfulness of God. Can we trust God's word? The psalmist tells us that God's word is settled in heaven. It's not settled here on earth, is it? It's up for debate. Well, I don't think that's what God meant. I think, you know, we're in a different period of time. We got to accept this. We got to accept that sin. No, it's settled in heaven. It's a done deal. He's the author, and I'm not. I don't get to change what he wrote because he's the final authority. And I could trust God's word. And as we read then of the promises of God, we can trust that he will be faithful to fulfill those promises to us. In fact, it says your faithfulness endures to all generations. I love that. I could trust God's word. I can trust him in what he's told me. And it doesn't matter what century of time I'm born in, God is faithful. Isn't that great? I mean, think about it. How many people did you vote for in government who told you, we are going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this? And you voted for them, and they did everything. They didn't do anything, actually. They were unfaithful. That's not our God. He is totally, totally faithful to us. Now, do I have proof that God is faithful? Yeah, I think, you know, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, you establish the earth and it abides. As much as people say, you know, when I was in school, we were going into an ice age. It wasn't that long ago. I guess it was. But, you know, then it was what? Global warming. You know what they're saying now? It's kind of funny. Now we're going back into an ice age. Well, eventually someone gets it right, you know? Is there climate change? Yeah, the climate changes all the time. But God has established the earth and it abides. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth, and it keeps going. And if God could create the heavens and the earth, he creates all the stars, he knows them by name. Can he take care of me? Can he take care of you? Absolutely. Absolutely. In 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul told Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If I'm unfaithful to God, does that make God then unfaithful to me? Not at all. It's not in God's nature to be unfaithful. His attributes are not determined upon what anyone does. They're just it's his nature. It's his attribute. Then why can't we trust what God has told us in his word? Why can't we trust the faithfulness of God? Why do we doubt the faithfulness of God in our lives? Because we don't know the person. We don't know who God is. We haven't spent time with him. And I know that that's hard for some to take, but think about it. Do you trust people you don't know? You really don't. It's as you get to know them that you can trust them. I'll give you an example. Do I just let anyone come up here and teach? Of course not. I want to know where they're coming from. I want to know what they believe before they're allowed up here. Why? Because I'm accountable before God. So when I trust them, yeah. And that's really important. I mean, trusting God comes by knowing God. And I realize it's hard, but think about it. When you're going through a difficult situation, when things seem a mess, we lose trust in him. I thought you'd get me out of this mess. What's happening, God? Where are you when I need you the most? Is God still working? Is he on vacation? No. He's with us. He's faithful. Then why can't I see that? Because we're trusting in what we can see, in what we can feel. And you could check this out for yourself. Look at Christianity in the 21st century. It's all about feelings. Whoa, feelings. I feel like singing. But I won't, because I'll spare you, because that would be painful. But isn't it an emotional experience? Oh, did you feel that? It's kind of like the Mormons. They get a burning in their bosom. I tell them to take a Pepcid. How do you know that your feelings are right? I am very excited about the football season this year. The Bears are going to be number one. Feelings, feelings, feelings. Could I be wrong? Absolutely, because it's based on my feeling. What about God? He's faithful. He said he'll never forsake me. He said he will never leave me. So if I feel God is unfaithful to me, that he's left me, what's the problem? I'm not trusting what God has said in his word. And I'll tell you what, that's why we need each other. Because we all go through that. Let's face it, man, we're going through the valley of the shadow of death and things are a mess. And we start losing our perspective. And a brother or sister comes along and goes, hey, you know what? Got to keep your eyes on the Lord, man. He's with you. You know what he says. You know what his word says. And then they encourage us and they help us to have that correct perspective. Because it's easy to lose sight of that. We need to know the Lord intimately. By being in his word, by spending time with him. And as we do, we get to know his nature, his attributes, the things that he does. And we can trust in him. You see, the question is, can God change? I mean, it's a good question because we change all the time. We change our minds, we change actions, we change all kinds of things. So if we change a lot, does God change at all? And if he can change, then can he be unfaithful? God never changes. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Wow. That's a promise of God. Do you believe it? Do you trust him? That's a powerful and encouraging promise. And it was to Israel, and I believe it's to us as well. Because they deserve death, but because of God's love, his promise to them, he wasn't going to destroy them. He was going to restore them. And we too, like Israel, deserve death for our sin. But in Christ, God has given to each of us life. There's a promise. Jesus said in John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. It shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. The Lord does not change. We've been As we come to Christ, we're adopted into the family of God. Do you think God takes the adoption papers and rips them up at times? I've had it with you, Joe. That's it. Ripping them up. No. That should just give us such great comfort. No, you know, I could be the biggest bozo in the world and God says, there's my son. Think about our kids. You know, they do some crazy things. That's my son. That's my daughter, right? We love them. That's how God loves us. I am the Lord, I do not change. I love that. I do. It's such a comfort to me and hopefully a comfort to you. And we may not always know or understand what God is doing in situations we face in life, but can we trust him? Can we trust in the faithfulness of God no matter what? And I'm not saying, you know, we think of situations and we've got them planned out how God is going to work them out. I'm really good at that. I don't know about you, but I like, okay, Lord, this is how it's going to go. And it doesn't. Was God unfaithful? No, I just didn't listen to him. God has a perfect plan. I wish everything would work out the way I really don't wish everything worked out the way I want it. You know why? Because Father knows best. He knows what's best for my life, and I'll have to trust in him because he is faithful. Paul said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, when you come to saving faith in Jesus, didn't you have to trust in him? Absolutely, we all did. What's changed now, though? Nothing except the situations you're facing. God is faithful. He doesn't change. For Rahab, did she trust in what the two spies told her? Absolutely. She put the scarlet cord in the window. She brought her family into the house. She was spared. Her family were spared the judgment of God because she put her trust in the God of Israel and his faithfulness to save her. We think the spies saved her, but not really. They were acting in accordance to God's faithfulness. God used them to fulfill his purpose and save Rahab and her family. Do you think we save anyone? We don't save anyone. God does. We're just the tool, the instrument that God uses to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. The Holy Spirit is the one that saves people. Again, we're the instrument, just like these spies were the instrument in Rahab's life. She trusted in the promises of God, in his faithfulness, and we need to do the same. Look at verse 26 here in Joshua 6. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city of Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So Jericho is destroyed. And the interesting thing here is that Joshua puts a curse upon anyone who would come and try and rebuild the city. And we see the devastating consequences for those who didn't listen. In 1 Kings 16:34, some 500 years or so after Joshua pronounced a curse on anyone who would rebuild this city, this is what we're told. In his days, Hillel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Hillel the Bethelite attempted to rebuild the city of Jericho, and it cost him the lives of his sons. Now, then, if that's true, why do we see the city of Jericho in the days of Jesus and even in our own day, if there's a curse placed on it? Understand, the city standing in Israel today and even during the time of Jesus wasn't the same Jericho as in the time of Joshua. A little different location. And the one in the time of Joshua has not been rebuilt. Now here's the thing. What does that even have to do with us today? I mean, think about it. Well, think about this fortress of Jericho as some sin, some struggle in our lives. And you come to God and you desire to be delivered from it, and God delivers you. You've been set free from the bondage you were in. Then, you know, a year goes by, maybe 2 years, who knows? And you start to engage in the action or behavior again. And it may start out just looking at something or hanging around with people who are involved in these activities or actions that you were set free from. And as you start going down this path, as you start getting involved in doing these things again, what you've been set free from, you could be in bondage to once again. You've kind of built up this fortress, and it has you in bondage. Remember what this psalm, what David said in Psalm chapter 1, or in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Look at this blessed man. He doesn't follow down the destructive path. And that destructive path takes you farther and farther and farther away from God, away from the blessedness that God has for you. These fortresses that God has set you free from, you're building up again, and it will be harder and harder to tear them down. And as you look at this, you see this gradual progression of this person who's sinking deeper and deeper into this pattern of sin. First, they're walking with the ungodly, just kind of being with them, starting out as a casual relationship. But then he's not only walking with them, he's standing with them. They're hanging out together. It's not a casual influence upon his life anymore. And as they continue down this path, it finally gets to the point where he's sitting with them. He's in fellowship with them, agreeing in their sins and mocking the things of God and being involved in the sins themselves, himself. I mean, people travel down this path all the time. There's a way that seems right to a man, Solomon said in Proverbs 14:12. But its end is the way of death. Hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm in control. I can control this. It's only one drink. It's only one slot machine. It's only one this. It's only one look on this website. It's always only one. But is it? Never. Never. And the focus here for us is not, you know, some program or Christian book or some teaching, some this or that. It's blessed is the man that delights in the word of God and is obedient to what God says. We make it so complicated, and it's really not. Be in the word of God. Be obedient to what God is saying to you. Meditate upon the word of God. You know, that's what the Lord told Joshua, that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that, according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The word meditate has the idea or the picture of, you know, chewing the cud like a cow. You know, they chew the grass, they swallow it, they regurgitate it, chew it up some more to extract all the nutrients out of it. That's kind of gross. Well, for us, we take in the word of God. We start reading it in the morning. And as we're thinking about it throughout the day, what's happening is God is bringing things to mind. You know, you read something and you go, wow, I hope that's not in store for me today. It may be. You know, God has us. He knows exactly what we need. And what he wants us to do is to take God's word in, extract all those nutrients from it. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, man must have some delight, some supreme pleasure. His heart was never meant to be a vacuum. If not filled with the best things, it will be filled with the unworthy and disappointing. Wow. God has what's best for you. He's faithful. Why would you go to the world? And that's what we see a lot of times today. Fill your life with the things of God, and you're going to be blessed as you walk with him. I'm not saying it'll be easy. I'm saying you're going to be blessed. Don't allow those fortresses to be built up in your life again. You know, we talked about that when we did our study on destroying fortresses. The essentials for victory. You know, obedience to God's instructions. Follow what he's saying. Be obedient to his word. Keep yourselves from the accursed things. Don't bring sin into your life that's going to hurt you. And you'll have the victory because our victory is in the Lord. Keeping our eyes on him, following our shepherd. We need to remember that God is faithful. The things he's telling us is to help us to grow, not to hurt us. Yes, there's destruction that happens in our lives. But that destruction is usually things that need to be torn down. Those issues in our life. It may be pride. It may be, you know, unforgiveness. I don't know. But those fortresses can be torn down. Don't allow them to be built back up in your life. We'll just finish up in verse 27 here of Joshua chapter 6. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Now that kind of seems strange to me, doesn't it, to you? I mean, the fame of Joshua spread throughout all the country. I thought the Lord was to get the glory. He was to get the honor. Absolutely. And I truly think that's the idea here. The witness of Joshua spread throughout the country, and that was a witness of the Lord. Remember the people of Jericho. They saw the God of Israel working with the people of Israel. The God of Israel was working with them. They didn't think that the children of Israel were that strong, but their God was. And I think that's the same idea here. It wasn't that Joshua was this great military leader. It was that their God gave him some great victories. And that's what was spreading throughout the land. And that's for us too, guys. Our witness of Jesus to a world that's lost in darkness. We are living in such a time where all hope seems to be being ripped from people's lives. Why do you think we see the suicide rate so high today? It breaks your heart. People have no hope. How could kids be committing suicide? I don't even understand. As a kid, there was nothing in my mind about that. I was occupied with so many things. I watched shows that lifted me up. But now you watch shows that tear down, that destroy. You have music that talks about destruction. How sad. And we've taken God out of our nation. And he's the hope. I mean, read the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king in Israel. And that's our nation. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. And if you read Romans chapter 1, you turn from God, God will give you over. And look at the things. Read in Romans 1, all the things that God gives people over to. We're seeing them manifested today in our nation and really throughout the world. But boy, I tell you what, our lives should be so different. We should be excited. There should be that joy of the Lord. We should be this bright light that when people see us, they scratch their head and go, what is up with them? And you can tell them it's Jesus, man. It's Jesus. That's the difference. Man, I just reamed you out. Why didn't you holler at me? Jesus. If it wasn't for him, you'd be dead. But boy, Jesus changed my life. And he wants to change yours. You see, the witness. Let your light so shine before men, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about us getting the pats on the back, the glory. We're servants of God. He gets the glory through what we do. You know, I share with you so many times before, you know, you look at this little church and we've got this radio station and we've got all these missionaries we support. And all I can say is, it's him. It's God. I can't take any credit for it. We've got guys that we send our studies to in prison. How'd you start the prison ministry? I have no idea. Someone wrote me a letter and I don't know. Word got around the prison community that we will send studies. Well, we've got several guys now that are getting them. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He gets the glory. It's not because of my program or thing that I've done. It's what he has done. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The faithfulness of God. And let me say this, and I'll bring it to a close. God's faithfulness does not mean always that you will be cured from cancer. God's faithfulness does not guarantee your children will live a long and happy life. It doesn't mean you'll be wealthy. It doesn't mean you'll be free from oppression. It doesn't mean you'll live a middle-class lifestyle, whatever that means. And you can put anything in there. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We need to look to him. He's our peace. In a world that's in turmoil, true peace. And thus I can trust in the faithfulness of God. I don't know about you, but it says, Paul said, I know all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. How does he know it? Because of what God's word has said. He didn't say, I feel it. Or I see it, but I know it, because God's word says it. Always remember that. God's faithfulness to us. If my prayer is that you would leave here this morning trusting in God, that he is a faithful God who loves you more than you will ever know. If you don't know him, understand that he is a faithful God who loves you more than you will ever know, and you need to come to him. You need to repent of your sins and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. God's faithfulness to us is amazing. And I'm thankful that he's not unfaithful. I can count on him 100% of the time. And I pray that you never forget that. That you take that with you all the days of your life. Because God loves you and he is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We see in the life of Rahab, and we see even in our own lives, your faithfulness. And Lord, I think the more we learn of you as we read your word and we walk in faith, the more we can trust you, the more we can rest in you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to shine our light so brightly that people would see Jesus. That's our heart's desire. As we leave here today, Lord, we just pray, use us to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world. We thank you for being our God, and give us a blessed week, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.